Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Basis foundation, and
treat this when all have sinned, I'm sure that the glory of God. And so Sheila D, when he talks about all have sinned, it means everybody.
Everybody come up short.
And when you look at that, that means that you know that everyone is, you gotta break down what is sin. That's what I want to go around and ask everybody. You gotta break it down, what is sin? Go ahead and do your life. I'm sure we can get somebody on the radio.
Okay. Mary.
I didn't hear. She's scared of the mic.
Put her back on the mic.
She said what? Sin is what? Disobeying God. Okay. All right. What else? How would you define it? Disobedient. Got a hand back there in the back. The act of not doing what God wants. All right.
Anybody else?
All right. I'm going to see if we can get one of the callers, see if we can tune them in, see if we can get this thing to work. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hello, caller,
you're on the air.
It's Satan.
Who is this?
It's Sheila and Melissa Payton.
Ask them what their definition of sin is. You need to turn your radio down a little bit. What's your definition of sin? We're going to come back to them. See if we can get the next caller. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Hello? You're on the air.
This is Sheila. Can you hear me?
Yes. What is your definition of sin?
Hello, caller.
Hello. So the question is, we're asking everyone how they would define sin. What do you believe sin is? We're trying to expand on that, just to get everyone's knowledge of how they feel and what they believe in it. So the question is, caller, you're on the air.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Caller, you're on the air. Hello? Yes, I'm
hello,
here.
Can you hear me?
I'm the older sister. You treat me like I'm the little sister. we're going around. We're asking. We're talking about sin and salvation today. And so the question that we're asking right now is, what is your definition of sin? Can you hear me?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Did you hear the question that I had for you?
Okay, go ahead. Answer me the question again. I didn't hear it.
Okay, the question is, what is your definition of sin?
Oh, sin is a willful act of disobedience towards God. That's what sin is.
Amen.
So when you sin, that is something that you're willing to do. So the term "the devil made me do it" does not exist. It's a willful act.
That's an excuse that everyone likes to use.
The devil needs your permission in order to allow you to sin, so he can't make you do anything that you don't want to do.
You know, the little thing that I like about his response, everyone has disobedience to God, but there's a key point that he put in there about willingness.
Willing.
Yes.
Is that Red B?
Yes.
Red B, what up, Red B?
Hey, Pastor C, how are you, brother?
Doing well, man, doing well. We're working the peanuts thing out. You know, we got some people online, got some people in the audience. We got some chicken wings, a little salad. We were doing the fellowship thing. But we're talking about sin tonight. And when people get a definition of you know, what sin is, a lot of times they like to tell it about somebody, not themselves. And the Bible tells us that all of us is messed up somewhere along the line.
Yeah, this is true.
That's right.
And when we messed up, even if we had all your money, and I know you got a lot of money, if we had all your money, we couldn't get right back with God.
That's right.
That's right.
Is that right, Ray?
That's right. You're absolutely right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, there's no amount of money that could ever allow you to get right with God. You can't pay your way back. You know, it has to, you know, you have to repent. You know, and it has to be, you know, a sincere act. You know, it just can't be something where you just like going through the motions and say, you know, I've done it a million times before and I'm going to do it again and I know that God's going to forgive me, but you know, God has to examine your heart. He has to look at your mind. He has to look at all of that and see if you were really sincere, you know. And if you are sincere, you know, he'll forgive you time and time again, you know. But, of course, you have to come, in the right mode, the right frame of mind. You know, you have to be sincere. You have to be humble. You know, you really have to say, you know, Lord, I understand what I've done. And I want to make an improvement, and I need to, you know, need to be forgiven of this act. But, you know, of course, I think the bigger thing is that when we do sin, it's all on us. It's never on anybody else. You know, we sometimes talk about sin, but we want to exempt ourselves from some of the responsibility. We want to blame it on everybody else, or blame it on things, or blame being in the wrong place at the wrong time, but all of these things, you know, can't have any harm or effect on you if you don't allow it to. But if you allow it to, then that's your willingness to allow those things or those persons to, you know, to come into your space, into your area. But, you know, the most important thing is to, you know, be able to understand that no sin can ever be committed without your permission. You know, nobody can do anything to you that they won't allow you to. Yes, sir.
We're going to ask our biblical expert to step in. We're going to give him a chance to tell us what his definition of sin is.
Go ahead.
Amen. Caller, you're on the line. Caller, you're on the line. Yeah, that's crazy.
Our biblical expert, Dr. Gregory, who wrote Romans 5, chapter, and he
Yeah.
I heard.
Anybody? Really good. One more back then. One more back then. All right.
No cost, no heart, no passion.
To the Right. We won't take the free gift. And it's just gift sitting out there for everybody to have, but you can't take the free gift. And what I tell people is, it's like having the cure for a disease, but you won't take it. Sin is like a disease.
Yes, it is.
It's a sin. Sin sick. It causes your soul to be sick. And what happens is, the only cure for that soul sickness is God's grace and His mercy. But if we don't take it freely, we can't get healed from that sin. You gotta go get over the mic. We can't hear you. All right, take it, live it, and give it. All right, well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to ask our artist for this evening, Sister Yolanda Pelzer, if she would come and she would render us a selection in song. She just went around the corner. Hopefully she's coming back through. She's coming back through. And let's give a hand as she comes.
Amen.
With Brother Corey.
Amen. Salvation, free gift. He's able to keep us from falling. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God will do what He says He will do. He's going to fulfill every promise to you. I won't give up on God. I won't give up on God. Because He doesn't give up on us because He's able. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Let's give a hand. Let's give a hand. This is Yolanda Pelza. Brother Coy on keyboard. Wasn't that beautiful? I won't give up on you. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. And when we think about that, when we think about that, what we're really seeing when we're talking about the salvation that God provides, even after we sin, that it's remarkable that even while we were yet sinners, the Bible says yet sinners, that God or Christ died for the ungodly. In other words, when we were unfit to live and not ready to die, God died for us. And you know, that goes along with the song that Sister Yolanda sang, that God, he's not going to give up on us. He's not going to give up on us. And, you know, many times we can get some attitudes, and we don't want to forgive nobody. Somebody did something, we hate them for life. Been mad with you for 25 years. Don't know why I'm mad, but it's 25 years. I'm just mad. But right, right. But aren't you glad we're not God? Oh, my goodness. We'd be some messed up folk. But you know, that's what God is so awesome, is that he'll look past our faults and he'll see our needs. And so he said, my plan is, you know, the first Adam messed you up, the second Adam will get you back in line. And so when you look at that in Romans 6:23, let's go to Romans 6:23, and it tells you that the wages of sin is death. But the gift, I'm so glad God uses conjunctions. and they teach you in school that a conjunction will change that the first part of the sentence is not the last part. Somebody get ready to get excited in here in a second. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through what? So in other words, the first part is not the end. Aren't you glad the first part of your life, unsaved life, wasn't the end? Anybody glad about that? The first part of your life where you wasn't saved wasn't the end. But God, that sounds like Minister Sykes right there. But God, he stepped in and says the gift of God, we're talking about that gift, that free gift, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so here again in Romans 6:23, he's discussing what it took to save you or not. It took Jesus Christ paying the penalty that we couldn't pay. In other words, there was a penalty for you and I. In other words, salvation didn't just come for free. It had to be a satisfaction. We talked about this last Sunday. It'd be a satisfaction of the powers that be. When God told Adam in second chapter, I believe it was Genesis 2:17, he said, "You can eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, you shouldn't eat of it, because in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And in Genesis, the third chapter, when I believe it was verse 6, when Eve and Adam and Eve took part of it, what happened is they died spiritually. And then that passed on to every generation, like it said in Romans 5, from Adam to Moses to everyone who might not have sinned after the same manner that they did, but it was the powers that be, the principalities are looking around and say, "Well, God, how are you going to straighten this up? How are you going to deal with this? What's how are you going to change it? Because you said that if they ate of it, they're going to die." Amen? And so they're standing around and say, "How are you going to fix this up?" They're looking at God, "How are you going to fix this up?" They sin, so they're unrighteous. They can't die for them. So what did God do? God took on the form of what? A man. I love the way Matthew says he came down through 40 and two generations. You can tell a priest to get ready to preach when he go there. Yeah. 42 generations to the birth of Christ. The bloodline came through and Jesus was born, but he was born to the world, man and God at the same time, but he was in the flesh. So what happens is, because sin happened in the flesh for humans, what happens, God had to deal with it in the flesh. In other words, he couldn't deal with it from the throne. He had to come down to earth, because we're the ones that messed up on earth, to deal with it in that manner. And so once you get to the point where you're saying God had to come, leave his throne, leave his riches and glory, and come down and deal with me, that's amazing. That's love. That's love. He had to come down and deal with me, and not only me, but everybody else in all the sins of the world. He dealt with sin past. He dealt with sin present. He dealt with sin future. All because he loved us. Isn't that crazy? That's what kind of love is that? Can you explain it? Can you put that into words? How someone would love you so much that they would leave their riches in glory? We wouldn't even outside to save somebody. Dr. Gregory, help me out. What kind of love is that? What kind of love is that?
Isn't that awesome? Oh my God, Sheila T, what kind of love is that? That is true. But then they get on my nerves. I don't want to be tired.
That's right.
God said, even though you get on my nerves, I'm going to be tired.
I know.
I'm
going to
love you so much, I'm going to be tired.
And we continue to mess up, and he still loves you. Let's ask some of the audience what kind of love is that, Sheila G.
Love is that?
Amen. Well, what does agape mean?
Unconditional.
Unconditional.
That God kind of love.
Yeah, yeah. See, we won't break it down. We use these big biblical words, agape. A-P-O-G-E-E.
That good kind of
love. There you go. Break it down. Break it down. Break it down.
Anybody else?
Everybody got shy again. I told you, didn't I tell you they scared of the phone? They scared of the microphone. It never changes. And there's nothing new under the sun. You got some young folk in the corner. You got some young folk in the corner. Make sure they speak into the mic, please.
Speak into the mic. Tell me about us and God's love. Break it down. Say that to a friend. Maybe look at you and say, what you mean by unconditional? No doubt.
You got One more back there.
No if. I like that.
One more.
All right. Oh my God.
You know, Pastor, there's part of that scripture, 1:16, where some people would not die and give their life for a good person.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a righteous person.
Right.
But God is willing to give his life for
unrighteous. Absolutely. Anybody else want to chime in on that before we move on? Anybody else? Go ahead. Right there. Dr. Corey.
That's right.
All the things that are not as if they were.
So, okay.
I like the way you speak, somebody.
I'm a flinger. Conditional. So, things with conditions. A conditional love would be one that is, God will only love you if you do this, you know, if only if you obey him, which is not true. It's unconditional, which means it does not come with condition. He loves us, like you say, you know, in our unrighteous ways. Comes with no conditions. I'm not going to, you know, shut you out just because you're not serving me. I'm still going to love you, which is why he sent his son down.
Wow, isn't that awesome?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, when you think about it, and I think sometimes we take it for granted. You know me, I'll take off in a second. But it's just, you know, when you really think about it, it's like, you know, God shows you over and over again, because how many times have we messed up? We know we messed up. Still reach down. He'll still let us know it's okay. And, you know, he'll give us that I call it that spiritual spiritual soap. That's 1 John 1:9. He says we confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's that spiritual soap that God gives us. We want to look at it a little bit deeper. Dr. Gregory, can you read down from where you left off in Romans, where he starts talking about how he compares the difference between Adam and the difference between the first Adam and the second Adam? I believe you left off on the 15th verse, 5:15, and you know, it's all about getting back in the right relationship with God. And so what he'll be talking about is he'll be talking about righteousness and how we can get back into the right relationship with God by accepting God's free gift. And he'll break it down. So go ahead and break that down for us. And so that's the way God deals with it. When we shake our puny fist at God and say, God, it's not fair. I ain't seen after Adam and Eve. Everybody blames on Eve. The women blame it on Adam. Everybody blames it on Adam and Eve. We had to get into that here shortly. But the old deacons used to say, every tub got to sit on its own bottom. In other words, you going to stand for yours, and I'm going to stand for mine. That's right. You, grandmama and granddaddy's religion is not going to get you into heaven. You got to stand for yourself. And so that's what God did. He said, okay, y'all crying, y'all snotting, y'all talking about, it ain't sin. Here you go. I ain't doing like that. That was Adam. That was Eve. God said, stop sniffling. Dry your eyes. He said, one man got you in it. One man can get you out. He said, that's my plan. There's no gray area. It's either you live with Adam's judgment or you live with God's grace, Jesus' grace. And that's the plan. It's real simple. That's the plan. One got you in it. One can get you out of it. He tells justice, I'm satisfying this. Justice demands your life and my life after we've believed on God, Son, and his sacrifice. That's it. It's done. There's no nothing can unsave you once you've been saved. And so we're gonna go to Romans, the 10th chapter, and we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. But before that, we're going to have our artist come back, and we're going to have her to render us another selection. Let's give them a hand as they come. They rolling.
Unsaved, amen. I call it the great exchange. God, I'm trading my sorrows.
That's right.
And I'm taking your joy. How many of y'all want to give it to
me? Hey.
Give it all away, Lord, on your side. I want everything to change. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
One thing got me in, one man got me out. Amen. I'm trading all that mess. Thank you, Lord. I've been training my fitness.
Amen. Amen. Come on, praise. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I know that's right. Yeah, let's give God some more praise. Amen. 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 That was right on time. Right on time. Right on time. We got about 10 left, and we want to go to our final scripture of the night, our final scripture, and that's going to be in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And so I always tell people, I ask them, so what are you going to say at the gate? When the gatekeeper asks you, why should I let you into heaven? What are you going to say at heaven's gate? When the gatekeeper asks you, why should I let you in? And what I tell them is, you need to go to Romans 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, and memorize that. Memorize it. And this should be your answer. This should be our answer at the gate. Anybody want to get in? Anybody want to get in? Amen. You want to get in. And so God has the two verses in his word that tells you what we have to do to get in. Amen. And he makes it real simple. But you standing at the gate talking about, what had happened was, see, you know, my father and them, you know, my other side, see, we used to go to church down in Carolina. And they're asking you, you know, but why should I let you in? And that's the sad thing, because Jeremiah talked about it. He said that the heart is wicked above everything. That's really wicked. So your good heart's not going to get you. Your good. But I went to church every Sunday. I paid my tithes. I did this. I sang on the choir. I was in the pulpit. I was a deacon. I was the youth minister. I did everything. Gave all my money. I cut the grass. I did all those things in the church. Planted the flowers. Painted the church. Everything. And the gatekeeper still asking, so why should I let you in? Why should I let you in? Huh? Because I bought a ticket. I bought a ticket. And some of the old saints tell me, I've been sending up my timber. Sending up my timber. And you send it all up. But if you don't got this one, you're Chuck. Biblical escort, can you tell us what Romans 10:9-10 says? So he breaks it down, and he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, in other words, you talking about Jesus, and believe in your heart that what God raised him from the dead. So in other words, you believe that second Adam died and was buried, and he was rose. So if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus died for your sin, that he was buried for your sin, and that God honored that sacrifice and raised him from the dead, what does he say? He said, you shall be saved. And so when you're standing at the gate, right, and the gatekeeper asks you, why should I let you in? You tell him what Romans 10:9-10 said. You say, because I believed in my heart, and I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe that God raised him from the dead. And God's word says, see, that's what God loves. God loves when you speak his word back to him. And because it's powerful right there. It's all power. God gets excited when we talk his word back to him. When you pray his word back to him, God's like, yeah, that's my child. That's my child. They speaking my word back to him. He loves to hear you speak his word back to him. Oh, God gets excited. You know how it is if you're a parent and you know your children start looking and sounding like you. You're like, oh, Lord, they looking and sounding like me. Oh, my goodness. And God's like, they're my children. They talking like me. They telling what Romans 10:9-10 is. They saying it. Go ahead, say it. You believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. What? The Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. In other words, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You shall be saved. And that's what it's all about, knowing. And that's what I want everyone to walk away from this tonight, knowing that you're saved, that you believed in his son. And not only did you believe it, but you confessed it with your mouth. And if you believe it in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, God said, that's it. Done deal. Case closed. Everybody else can get mad and upset, but that's what it is. So when you get that 10:9 in your verse, 9 and 10 in your heart, that's where you really can walk and say, I'm saved. And sometimes you don't feel like you're saved. Anybody ever been there? Sometimes you don't feel like you've been saved. Sometimes, God, I really messed up this time. How can you love me and I really done messed up this time, God? Do you really still love me? And God says, I'm a God that cannot lie. Lord have mercy. He said, I'm a God that does not change. He said, if I put you in my hand, can anybody what? Pluck you out. Huh? So when the devil tells you about your past, you tell him about his future. Sheila G. But that's where the center of the soul is in the heart. And so what is at stake is the soul. So what is it, if we die and we don't have Christ as our Savior, then our soul is going to live eternally separated from God. We're going to get into that next week. We're going to go back to Genesis and we're going to talk about what happened in the garden where the soul was lost. And, you know, the songwriter says, that when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. See, it's the soul that's going to live forever. And it's going to live forever either with God or separate from God. But it's going to live forever. This old body's going to go back to the dust from where it came from. But the soul is going to live forever. When God breathed into man's nostrils and he became a living soul, that soul is never going to die. It's eternal. It's going to live forever. And so what we have to understand is we can make a decision while we're yet on the earth, because this is where sin for humans occurred, on the earth, and so it has to be dealt with on earth. So when we take that last breath in this body, we either dealt with it the right way or we didn't deal with it. And so as soon as you close your eyes for the last time, you're going to know if you dealt with it or not. Because the rich man in Lazarus, the rich man fared sumptuously all his life. And Lazarus, he couldn't even get some crumbs from the dog. The dog licked his wound. But when the rich man died, he lifted up his eyes well in hell and said, I was tormented. And so we have to understand that we have to make that decision while we're living. There's no purgatory. Uh-oh, I'm getting in trouble with my friend. I'm getting poor friends. Lord have my religious friends. There's no purgatory. Nobody can pay your way or pray you over into glory. You got to get it done while you're walking on this earth. Amen. So that's what we're trying to make sure everybody knows, that Romans 10:9-10. So when you close your eyes for the last time, that you have believed in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and he said you shall be saved. He does. Yeah, yeah. Reverend Gregory, Dr. Gregory, we gonna let you close us out. It time goes so fast when you're doing it. You guys had a good time. Amen. Any questions? I know we talked a lot. Any questions? We thank those who have called in and participated on the radio. We thank you for hanging in with us. I know we're going to get some more calls. We might have to extend it a little bit longer, but it's been good. I think this has been our best session. We know that the enemy has been trying to keep us from going forward, but we know that God is the God that has all power in his hand. And so we thank God for this going forward tonight. Sister Pell, you got one more song in you. You got one more song in you. He closes out. And worship, worship, worship. Amen. And then we're going to get on out of here. Give a hand. And Brother Corey as they come. Y'all can stand on your feet now. We're going to worship and get on out of here. Amen. Love you. Love you. All right.
I worship at the Lord.
Amen. Give God some praise. Let's hear it for Sister Yolanda Fells and Sister Corey on the keys. We ask you to bow your head, and we're going to close out in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you, God, once again, for truly our hearts have been blessed. God, you have continued to show yourself strong and mighty in our lives tonight. And God, we just give you honor and glory and praise. And Father, we just pray, God, that you would just continue to bless this ministry. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice, God. God, bless us that we will be able to be a blessing to ourselves. And God, we just thank you right now, God, for what you have done through your Son, Jesus Christ, providing us salvation that we can get back into the right relationship with you. And God, truly we can say that we've been blessed because you have came and your Spirit has showed up and showed out in the name of Jesus. You know, God, we just thank you and we praise you, and we pray that everyone will be able to return safely to their homes. Grant them traveling mercy. And until we meet again, God, we give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise. And it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. And everyone that touched and agreed with that prayer said amen, 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 amen. Say there's nothing new under the sun. God bless you and good night.